All right, Fitness Retention Podcast. We got another great episode today with Kelly McCauley, founder of Complete Fit Pro. One of the things that we talk about that I really am a believer in is adopting a what's going well outlook instead of just focusing on what isn't going well in your business. Kelly is a veteran of the fitness industry with over a decade of experience, so this episode is really interesting for a number of reasons, but it's interesting to see people who have evolved as the industry has changed, and Kelly is one of those people. Also, want to mention that if you would like to learn a little bit more about retention, or you think there's something going on at your gym that isn't putting you in the best place to retain members, my email is agymotion@gmail.com. That's agymotion@gmail.com. Hit me up and we will try to figure out what that one thing or multiple things are that might be holding your business back from tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars in recurring revenue. All right, without further ado, here we go with Kelly McCauley of Complete Fit Pro. All right, the Fitness Retention Podcast would like to welcome Kelly McCauley. Kelly, what's up?
Hi, how are you today? Thanks for having me on.
Of course, my pleasure. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Good. Kelly, you run Complete Fit Pro. And maybe that's a little bit on the down low right now, or maybe it's just kind of emerging. So maybe for the people who aren't familiar with you or who aren't familiar with what you're up to now, can you give a brief introduction about your career in the fitness industry and how you came to launch Complete Fit Pro and where you're going with it?
Sure, absolutely. I'd be happy to. I think my story is probably very similar to a lot of other people that got started in the fitness industry, but my background was teaching. And I was a teacher for many years, had my own kids, took some time off, and then kind of reevaluated what did I really want to do next. That was kind of when fitness was really starting to make a real big push into, I would say, like the stay-at-home moms kind of world. Okay. So I started doing a lot of different fitness classes, going back out there, and wasn't really getting any results. So a friend of mine, I had heard, started a gym. And I was like, it was a personal training studio. Ooh, that's neat. That sounds cool. There really wasn't a whole lot of those at the time that I knew of. I was going to the Y. I was going to, you know, the larger gyms. And I went there and I started getting results. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Why am I getting results doing this? And I was spending all this time at these other places and I wasn't getting any results. And I became that raving fan. And I adopted that methodology. I started to live and breathe it. And I said, I found out I just wanted to be around these people more and more. And I said, what can I do here? And that's really what jumped, kind of, you know, got me started back into the fitness world, became a personal trainer, a group fitness instructor. I was really big into kettlebells at that time in my life and started managing, and then ended up managing at another personal training studio. And that was all on the East Coast. And my life story has changed a little bit in that now that I am living on the West Coast and starting something new, which is Complete Fit Pro. And this started because of problems that I had as a manager in finding talented trainers that had the complete set of skills that I was looking for. And what I found was we were constantly frustrated with the trainers that were coming through the door, and we realized we needed to train them ourselves. So Complete Fit Pro is basically, they are online training systems for fitness business owners and managers that believe in ongoing education, investing in their staff, and giving them the skill sets that certifications and basically the schools are not right now.
So I have a few questions. Number one, and I'm just going to go in order of kind of how you mentioned it. You said that you kind of like caught the bug or wanted to be around these fitness people, right?
or yes. people in fitness. What was it about this certain type of person that you kind of got energy from or just wanted to be around?
This was probably a 1500 square personal training studio. Mm-hmm. It was on the Philadelphia suburbs, and it was launching. It was brand new. It didn't look like a gym, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that before where people come into a studio thinking that it looks like a gym, but it really didn't. It was immaculate. It was clean. Mm-hmm. It was had a really great aesthetic look to it. And then the people were just amazingly friendly and outgoing, made me feel welcomed, were very supportive of me. And I think, honestly, the thing that really clinched the deal was I had my very first workout, you know, as a client, and the personal trainer called me that night to find out how I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? Like, you're genuinely interested in how I, no one had ever done that before. I had worked with trainers in the past that never did that before. And it was that one thing that said, wow, these people are different.
Huh. So then to transition that into when you were managing teams and you were noticing maybe like a lack of skill set or thing, maybe a skill set that wasn't developed or people weren't thinking in like an entrepreneurial mindset, where is the gap between the things that you observed in that first environment and what you saw when you were managing?
Well, what I saw was that trainers spend so much time learning the exercise portion because they think that that's really what people need, right? It's either they like it or they know that they need to understand programming better. They need to understand the human body better. And all of that, yes, is so important to being a professional trainer. You need to have that expertise behind you. Mm-hmm. But what they didn't understand is that when you're going into a personal training studio and you are an employee and, you know, we're not a big box gym where people are, you know, coming in and knocking down the door saying, you know, here, you know, I want your services. We had to be so much more than just versed in exercise. Mm-hmm. So when we would talk about, well, one of the things that was really important is that we were immersed in our community, that everybody in the community knew who we were. No one was going to learn about us being living inside of these four walls. Mm-hmm. And when I said to trainers, we're going to go to this event or we're going to set up a booth at this, and they were like deer in headlights. They were scared to death because, no. I don't sell. I don't go outside. I just want to be here and help people when they come in. And that's where we said, well, wait a minute. No, we need to train them on how do you market yourself and our brand? Mm-hmm. And how do we get them to feel comfortable talking about this passion that they have? They need to be able to sell themselves and what we do. And they need to be able to communicate and understand how people receive that communication. So we saw all these kind of soft skills that they didn't have that was really going to set them to be up to be successful mm-hmm. in the industry.
Yeah. I mean, as like someone who was a personal trainer and I still train a few clients, but one of the things that I've talked about on this podcast that I wish that certifications did were actually teach you some of the communication, some of the like follow-up processes, a little bit of the marketing. Like coming out of college, I studied communication and I've talked about this on the podcast before. Like that was probably my best asset as a trainer, not my amount of technical knowledge or how to do like a clean and jerk. It was all about, can I call this person and actually have a conversation with them after they do their first free session and get them to come back?
Right? Yes.
That is a totally different skill set than doing a like a windmill with a kettlebell or, you know, like there's just, it's completely different. And one of the things that I think is interesting about what you're doing is like, yeah, you can go to the next technical or like exercise certification and you might get 5% better. Mm-hmm. But if there's this huge chunk of your skill set that's missing, that is not being provided by your company, then you probably need some specific training on how to develop that skill set, because that'll make you 25% better or X percent better. And it's not these like tiny little incremental gains. There's these big leaps that you make when you get trained or seek out training that is going to grow you as like a, I refer to it as like an entrepreneur and not just like an individual contributor within the four walls of a business. So maybe can you talk about like one or two of the most common things that you see, and then how you work on or solve those things with trainers or managers, kind of the people that you work with?
I think one of the most valuable things managers can do with their staff is to role play.
Thank you. Me too.
I think that they need to feel supported by one another and to feel that they're in a safe environment, because it's actually scary enough to have to role play in front of your peers. Mm-hmm. And I can remember when I was first kind of thrown into this as a manager, and I have to say a lot of managers are not prepared either to be managers.
I agree.
Kind of get thrown into that role. And I did as well. And you have to learn what it is that you don't know. Mm-hmm. And we actually had a business coach that came in and once a week was, and he was in sales, kind of threw us into scenarios. Okay, mm-hmm. You're going to go into this tire store that's across the street. And we're just in our little, you know, personal training studio. And you're going to walk up and you're going to talk to them about their business. And you're going to talk about what you're doing now. And you're going to invite them in for a complimentary session. That's all I want you to do. That's all you're selling is a complimentary session. Just see who we are. Mm-hmm. We're in the same neighborhood. We want to help each other. And I remember that business coach got to me, and it turned out that he ended up selling me 4 tires, and I didn't get to tell him anything about what I was doing now. And that's where I said, wow, this stuff is really useful. I need practice at this. I didn't know what to do. Huh. They ended up selling me. I was like, okay. So one of the biggest things that I think is very valuable is to use the daily scenarios that happen in your gym setting, mm-hmm. whether it's making a follow-up phone call, whether it's meeting a prospective client for the first time, mm-hmm. whatever that might be, and role play it and role play it and role play it till it just comes right off the tongue and it's no longer scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I completely agree with you. Well, I mean, like, just for context, I did a couple years of tech sales, and we weren't allowed to pick up the phone until we'd gone through like 100 different role plays of just the first minute of a call. And it sounds silly, but it doesn't take a crazy amount of repetition to get at least passably good at something. Mm-hmm. If I were trying to call for me, a gym that I had never spoken with before, I better know what I'm going to say the first 1, 2, 3 things that are going to come out of my mouth, and then I'm prepared to listen. And I think it's pretty similar with personal training in that you're going to ask a few questions up front, and then you have to listen and you have to internalize what they're saying and be able to solve their problem.
Right.
So beyond kind of like the role playing and the getting used to the rapport building or understanding their needs, what else do people need? What's maybe like the second or third most common thing that you see?
I'm sorry, you faded out just for a second. With the trainers or?
With the trainers and the managers, what's the second or third most important or most often seen thing by you?
I think the other thing that the managers really need to work with is helping trainers or whoever their staff is that they're responsible for, really understanding who they are and what their goals are. Mm-hmm. Because for a long time, I was an employee and I didn't know where I was going with my career. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that we can do that's really helpful is just helping our employees figure out where they are and where they want to go and coach them, because they're now placed into a role where they have to be coaches. And that comes with a lot of different that means a lot of different things to people, that mm-hmm. there's not a clear definition of that. But if you're trying to get someone to change and or get from A to B, and you don't really have a lot of experience in that, and that's what a lot of trainers are, mm-hmm. you need to understand how you yourself get from A to B and all those little challenges along the way. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that was very valuable to me was to sit down with my trainers and to really know exactly what their goals were. And you know what? A lot of them didn't have any. Help people. That if you ask trainers all the time, what's my goal is to help as many people as I can. But mm-hmm. no, what about for you? What are your health goals? What are your personal goals? What are your business goals? What do you want to do in 10 years? Do you want to be owning your own gym someday? How are you going to get there? Mm-hmm. And when you help them, then they have a better understanding when they have to sit down with clients mm-hmm. and coach them through some of those obstacles and goal setting. Mm-hmm. That would be another thing that I would say that they don't have any experience in.
I like that connection you made between identifying, like, let's say I was the trainer, me identifying my goals and the ability to then kind of draw those goals out of a client. I think that that's an important thing. But let me play devil's advocate here, because this is something that I've seen. It's not a mindset that I or a lot of the people that I'm fortunate enough to deal with have, but it is something that I'm sure you've seen also in the world of personal training. Let's say there's a trainer who is training 4 or 5 clients a day, mm-hmm. and that's fine with them, but the department needs more either revenue for them or needs this trainer to hit more sessions to reach their overall department goal. And the trainer, if you say like, what is your goal to the trainer? And they say, I'm good. I'm where I want to be and I'm comfortable here. How do you get something out of that trainer?
Oh, that's a good question. And something that many owners have seen time and time again.
For sure.
But I also believe it goes back to, you know, when you hired that person, you mm-hmm. know, what was the expectation? What was the role? And, you know, was this a trainer that was only going to work, you know, part-time for you, that only really wanted to do it on the side? And now all of a sudden you're asking them to do a lot more. Or is this someone that knew very well that the expectation was that, you know, we have this goal and everyone's expected to contribute to it, and you now are not necessarily keeping your end of the bargain, mm-hmm. you know? So I think you kind of, there has to be a scenario behind that a little bit. You know, is that person not performing to the level that they were hired to perform at? Then you have to look at, do they have the skills that they need to be able to be successful? Are you providing them with the coaching that they need to get to the next place? Mm-hmm. If you're doing what you need to be doing and they're still not performing, then that's a situation where you need to sit down and say, we're not on the same page.
Yeah.
And where do we need to get to? And I really think then it goes back to kind of, you know, as a team, what's our values? What are our goals? And is this person in alignment with those values and where the team is going? And it may mean that that person no longer fits the dynamic of where the company is going, or it could be with a little good coaching and support, they can actually rise to the occasion.
That was a very democratic answer. That was great.
I don't think there's a one answer to, unfortunately, you know, do you fire them just because they're not? I don't, that shouldn't be your first, you know.
For sure.
Right. And you know what? Maybe they have a lot of value in just bringing, you know, training 4 or 5 people. Maybe there's other ways they could contribute to the team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not sure there's a black and white answer there for you.
That's the avenue that I tend to take, is when people have reached a level of complacency, is to try to motivate them to do something outside of what they're already doing. But again, that goes to exactly what you're saying, is you have to understand their goals and you have to understand their personal goals, not just like work related goals. So, can we talk a little bit about your time in kind of like the studio environment?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that you and I had talked about before this, the last time that we connected, was that there were a lot of things that you saw in the studio mindset that you feel may be missing from the big box mindset currently. And this is something that we often talk about on this show because a lot of the listeners are working in a big box gym, or they manage a big box gym, or they're an area director. And what they're trying to do is get things that work without inducing a ton of cost on their business, because maybe they have a budget or, you know, whatever. So what are the things that work in little studios that aren't being done in big boxes right now?
Well, I have not worked in a big box gym, so I'm not sure what's not being done.
Okay.
I have been in plenty of them, and I know that sometimes they definitely are falling short in some areas, but I think that you're managing a lot of different departments, and mm-hmm. and they all have to come together. And if you want to create this, and you're seeing a lot more of the big box gyms trying to adopt these small studio mindsets, which I think is great. But I think the biggest difference is it's the quality of the relationship that the small studio has with their clients. Mm-hmm. That needs to somehow be adopted into the large gym. Mm-hmm. So how is that going to be done? And I always talk from a perspective of personal training, because that's literally kind of my background, but you need to really get to know your clients. If you want to compete in that same area, mm-hmm. you need to have a relationship with your clients. And I used to always say that you need to know at least two or more things about clients, whether it's their family, whether it's their occupation, whether it's their dreams, whether it's what they like to do for fun. If you know like these four things and you can say multiple things about, then you actually have a relationship with that client.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things the different departments can do is to start saying, you know, let's look at the people that are coming into our studio and saying, you know, do you know these people? Do you know something about them? How can you engage with them?
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's part of adopting the studio mindset to a large gym is, what are we going to do to learn more about each of our clients that's either coming to our spinning class or, you know, one of our group fitness classes? And that falls on the head of the director, you know, or the actual teachers.
Yeah.
To start doing that.
And I think when you say like you have to know, a lot of people who are new to fitness might be afraid to ask questions, like just something as general as like, what are you working on? Is there anything I can help you with? You know, hey, why do you come at 8 p.m. at night and not 6? You know, like you're going to learn so many things about people, but you just, your eyes just got really big. What?
It's so true. So many people are just afraid to talk. And you know what? I'm sad to say, but the world that we live in right now is not a lot of talking is going on.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing more and more of our youth being afraid to engage in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they need to practice.
Well, and you have kids.
And right? I have kids.
How old are your kids?
My youngest is 16, 19, and 24. Too young anymore.
What's that?
They're not too young anymore.
They were raised kind of a little bit in this environment of technology being the easiest way to connect with your friends.
Yes.
Do you feel like that has inhibited their social abilities at all? Not to get like too far off on the technology train here, because this could be a whole nother podcast, but do you feel like
I think it absolutely has.
Yeah.
They don't leave the house like, and aren't as social as, you know, even my oldest was out more than my younger two now. They're in, you know, they're having conversations through their phones, through video games. They're not getting out and doing as many social things. I can see even with some of my kids, like they're getting at the age where they need to like apply for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, having to teach them how to craft, you know, an email, or actually having to get on the phone and call somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary. It's scary for them.
And what do you think the impact of technology taking over a greater portion of people's lives is could potentially be on fitness. Because there's two sides to it, right? Like, it might...
Technology is great, and it's helping, yes. And even what I try to keep up with all the latest, you know, the latest trends and things, and I know that, you know, AI is coming down the road and it's going to make things a lot more interesting in the fitness industry with wearable technology and online kind of virtual fitness coaches coming down the line. But I still think it never will replace that element of human interaction, because as humans, we need that. Mm-hmm. We need to have emotional connections to people, mm-hmm. to real people.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to come in a lot of ways a little bit full circle. I think we tend to get away from things and then we start going back to where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. So I'll never give up on that need for, you know, to always be there for somebody and actually talking to them.
I'm glad that you said that word emotion, because my like consulting company is called Gymotion, and it's just gym and emotion, jam. Right. And emotion is such a big part of your relationship to fitness and to yourself. And part of what those studios do well, or like the boutiques do well, is that they tap into the emotional component of the customer by getting to know them and yes. making the customer feel invested in the relationship. Like my fiance just started working out like it 2 years ago, and she told me yesterday, there's no way I could ever go to another gym other than this little boutique, kind of like 10 franchise gym called Body Rock. And she was like, they just said my name and asked me how our wedding plans are going. And it's like, they've got her, you know, like she's not going anywhere. So I think there is definitely an emotional component, like you're saying.
I've been away now for almost 5 years, and I still have a relationship with many of the clients that I served for many, many years. Yeah. We're still in contact. I still check in on them to see how their training's going.
Yeah.
It is a relationship, and that is what I love about it. And I think that we can actually bring that mindset more to the larger gyms. It's definitely possible. And I think that many are doing a really good job. I mean, honestly, awareness is the first step.
Yeah.
And they are aware and they're trying to come together and figure out ways to create that. Will it actually be the same? No, it never will be. But you can create that emotional connection and that community, you know, inside that larger place. Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. All right, so let's switch gears a tiny bit here. What's something that every gym can do starting tomorrow to save time?
It's funny. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he brought up this phrase that we used to use. And actually, I haven't spoken about it recently to my kids, but have you ever heard the expression, eat the frog?
Yeah.
Right. So Mark Twain basically was the one that said that, you know, if you eat a frog the first thing in the morning, it's the worst thing that's going to happen to you, and everything else is going to be a piece of cake.
I thought it was.
If you're really trying, I'm sorry?
I thought it was eat crow.
No, it's eat the frog. So then the frog basically is your biggest, most important task. So yeah. If you're really trying to save time, as human beings, we tend to procrastinate and to put the big things, the things that are going to be incremental in changing our business, to later on in the day. We do all the little quick mundane things that we know that we can just, you know, punch out first. Well, that's the wrong, according to this is the wrong thing that we should be doing. If we actually focus on the one thing that will transform our business, the one thing that we know that we need to be working on, then that's what's going to help us to be more productive. And in the end of the day, we'll save time. So I say eat the frog.
Can you give me an example of how you're eating the frog?
Yes, I can. Exactly. So my business, Complete Fit Pro, is based on online training systems. Mm-hmm. Everything that's important to me is building every day these courses, mm-hmm. these resources. I find myself, oh, you know what? Let me read this quick little chapter first on social media marketing for my business, or let me, you know, get through all my email list first, and then I'll do my, but what's the thing that's my bread and butter here is getting these courses done, mm-hmm. right? And all these different areas that I know is the foundation of my business. Mm-hmm. So that's where I force myself in the morning to say, I'm not looking at my emails. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do my customer service modules. Mm-hmm. Or today I'm going to sit down and I'm really going to talk about critical thinking or problem solving or overcoming objections or whatever it is for that day that I need to be focusing on. Mm-hmm. I'm eating the frog. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you find that you do that too?
I do. It just, I mean, for me, like if something urgent happens with a client, I have to address it. So I prioritize.
That becomes, that's the frog at that moment. Yeah.
the frog moves. But yeah, I mean, for me, like I mean, I'm a believer in like the big blocks, little blocks, and then sand. You've probably heard like these management or these leadership.
Absolutely. Yeah. So,
I always have two big blocks, two little blocks, and then sand. So I'm working, I always do two big blocks first and then whichever comes after that, unfortunately.
And but, that's eating the frog. It's just thinking about it in a different mindset.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is kind of the same thing as, you know, picking that most important task first.
Yeah. Like for me, a lot of it is editing podcasts.
Yeah. Right.
I don't like doing it. I like the conversations, but do I like splicing audio clips? No, that's right. Not fun. But that's what gets me in front of people like you and in front of other people that are like big names in the industry is putting out content consistently. So I just have to do that.
Yes.
Okay. So how about same question? What's something that every gym or fitness business can do starting tomorrow to have the long-term effect of making more money?
So this is I was thinking about this a little bit, but it's a shift in mindset. So one of the biggest things you can do today to increase revenue tomorrow is stop focusing necessarily on the problems. Mm-hmm. And I want you to adopt a what's going well mindset. Mm-hmm. Right. So we tend to focus on the problems, and problems sometimes create more problems and morale goes down and people start, you know, feeling bad about themselves. Their productivity goes down. But when I ask you, Alex, what's going well in your business?
I mean, do you want me to answer?
Sure. What's going well?
I have people emailing me every day, asking me questions about how they can solve their problems. That's a pretty good place to be in.
Yeah, exactly. So it changes the whole idea that, wait a minute, there are a lot of good things that are going on that we need to accentuate. Yeah. And actually, when you talk to your team or even to your clients and talk to them about what's going well, mm-hmm. like it can completely shift the whole direction to a more positive mm-hmm. or feeling a little bit more gratitude. And you're going to find that within your team, you get higher levels of productivity, engagement's better in your employees because you're coming about it from like a curiosity. You're coming up from an optimistic mm-hmm. point of view. Mm-hmm. So if you really are trying to change the course of your business and increase more revenue, I can say that if even tomorrow you just started saying, all right, team, you know what? We're going to concentrate today on what's going really well in our business. And we're going to figure out how can we do more of that mm-hmm. rather than, oh, this one thing, it's still bothering us. Yeah, you know what? We will address it. But when you're starting to get more creative, more optimistic, I bet you're going to come up with a really good ideas for solving those other things that aren't going as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really smart. And I think for me, like I have a business coach who helps me realize those things a lot where it's like, yeah, of course they're, if I have three sources of revenue and two are doing really well and one isn't, it's so much easier to focus on the one that isn't than the two that are. But then it's like, why am I so invested in failure versus why am I invested in success? And there's a whole lot of like mental shifts that have to go on to actually make that happen. But yeah, I agree. Positive thoughts are a lot more powerful than negative ones.
Right. And it's just a really easy phrase that you can use. And it's really going to, I think, could have a very big impact.
Yeah.
On not just, you know, yourself, your business, but your team and your clients.
Yeah. Well, when I was working with clients, like when I was doing a lot of personal training, one of the questions I asked every time I saw them was, what was the hardest you laughed since the last time I saw you? And people, like, you can't be in a bad mood.
No.
100% of people laugh when you ask that question because they remember the funniest thing that happened to them.
Yeah. You're taking them right back to a funny time.
Yeah. What's going
on?
That's
a great thing. That's that. I love that. I'm going to have to remember that one too. Okay. help the trainers. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Last big question here. What's a book that you've read recently that had a big impact on you?
Oh, one of the biggest books. I say The Little Red Book of Sales from Jeffrey Gittimer.
I don't know it.
No? No. So I believe that we are all in sales. Yeah. I don't care what aspect of the fitness world you live in. And anybody that's in business, anyone, actually even as a parent or, you know, a significant other, you're constantly selling. Mm-hmm. And I never believed that I was in sales. And someone gave me that book very early in my career in the fitness world and said, this made a big impact on me and I want to share this with you. Mm-hmm. And it really just shows you that we are all in sales and that selling is just really speaking passionately about something that you believe in. And why wouldn't you want to talk more about it? Just like you and I having this conversation, I'm very passionate about this and I'm, you know, it's a form of sales. And if someone is really scared about being in sales or thinking or identifying themselves as being in sales, and I would give it to every person that works in your club.
Yeah.
Because we all work together. And it's written in a way that's very small and like little motivational red bit chunks of information. So it's like you can read it and then you have your little like takeaways and things that you can implement right away. Hmm. And sometimes it's just a shift in your mindset. If you're not where you want to be, sometimes you have to kick your own, you know what?
Well, hey,
so I say everybody should have that book in their little repertoire because we are all in this together. We're all selling a product, a service, ourselves, a company, a brand, a belief.
Everything.
Everything. So I love sales.
Me too.
And I want you to too.
All right, Kelly, how can people find out more about you and about Complete Fit Prep?
So right now, we are still launching, but you can join our Facebook group, which is already set up. It's Complete Fit Pro Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And we already have, it's a learning unit. So you can already get in there and start implementing with your team, different ways to help your team grow. So that's one way you can get, I can be reached at kelly@completefitpro.com. Mm-hmm. And our website will be available come April. So that's going to have all of our training systems on there. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited about that. So I will let you know when that is up and running.
That is awesome. I will probably release the podcast before that to help with any momentum.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that greatly.
Of course. All right. So we will wrap up there. Kelly, I want to thank you again for coming on the show. I'm stoked that you're doing this because it's needed and anything that makes the industry better is ultimately going to be better for the customer. And that's kind of why we do it in fitness. You mentioned earlier, like people want a lot of trainers. Their main goal is to help people, but oftentimes they have to be better and help themselves first in order to be able to do that. So thanks for preaching the gospel and coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun and it's been great getting to know you and learning more. So thank you for the opportunity.
And people will hear this later, but I will see you at IRSA.
Yes, I will see you at IRSA. That sounds like a great thing. Looking forward to it.
We're up there. Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you.
All right, that wraps up the episode with Kelly McCauley of Complete Fit Pro. Hope you got some good stuff out of that one. Shoot me an email if you or someone you know would be great for the show. Always looking for guests, always looking for feedback, happy to get feedback, and also just to meet new people and experts in the industry. So shoot me an email at agymotion@gmail.com. That's agymotion@gmail.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn. And without anything else to say, I am gonna wrap there.